there, boys and girls. Welcome to Only Stupid Answers, the best dang podcast you can put your moist little ears into. This is a podcast where your old pals Sam Basher and DJ Woldridge.
That's me.
That's him. And the other one was me. And we talk about movies.
Yes.
TV shows.
Yes.
Comic books.
Yes.
Video games.
Yes.
Oh, boy. I got a juicy video game thing I have to talk about in just a
second. I'm excited about it.
Oh,
I'm
super
excited to hear
excited.
About it.
But most importantly, we're going to be talking about the Marvel Netflix shows. Boy, howdy. 2 years ago, these things were top dog. These things ruled that streaming service.
Ruled the school.
Oh, for sure. And now, since they're thinning that herd quick, it's a little hard to get excited about it. But hey, we're reviewing Punisher Season 2. Spoiler-free, spoiler-filled. So guess what, gang? Even if you haven't watched it yet, you're going to get your spoiler-free review. So don't click away just yet. There's a lot of goodies in this episode. Freshly baked, just for you. Don't eat them too quick, though. You're going to burn your mouth.
Before we even dive into Punisher, we like to start off every week talking about what we're into that week. Sam, you got something for us?
Ooh, okay. So this comes out Monday, the 28th. The 29th is a very important holiday. 9 years in the make, 10 years in the making for some. Do you know which one it is?
No.
It's the release date
of oh my goodness,
Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts 3.
I've never seen somebody so excited for a game they've already decided they don't like.
No, I'm going to like the fighting combat. I'm gonna enjoy the combat aspects of it. I'm going to enjoy the animation because it actually looks beautiful. And it's not just cutscenes, even though those always look good.
Yeah.
It's the actual game looks really, really solid.
Yeah, and you like the worlds, right? You like going to the different...
I like the worlds, and I do like the characters interacting with the worlds, even though The parts of it that's just weird is, I've talked about on the show, but just quickie update on feelings, and I'm going to talk about what I'm into is not about Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
The research I did to get ready for it. It's just weird. It's
weird that you have to do research to get ready for a game.
Because apparently the 9 games they put out are all integral to the entire plot of these games.
Cool.
And there's no spinoffs. Mm-hmm. They're all very important. So what a weird tactic Oh, man, so weird. Anyways, it's just, as a kid growing up, Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 were, my jam. Those were, I think the first, games I actually, got really invested in.
Yeah.
They are, some of the first games of their kind of like that. Final Fantasy is like that, but this one was able to get to more audiences because they're, Disney characters are here, wink, wink, kind of not really. But they are a little bit. They are a lot, but, it's not important to the plot. But for me, Kingdom Hearts 3, I've been excited about for a long time. Replaying Kingdom Hearts 2 last year, 2018, shout out, pour one out. I realized that the dialogue in those games is pretty piss poor.
Well,
also,
now, to be fair, they are translations.
They are, but they're also made with American characters. So the team is a mix of different cultures coming together.
That's fair.
And
fair point.
And I think I'm a little tired of stories where it's but the darkness inside all of us. But if you had the light can
cure all. Yeah,
it's
a little
all.
Unspecific.
You get tired.
Yeah.
It's if all you gotta do is get the dark out of there, man.
What does that mean?
But I gotta embrace the darkness in me to really get the job done.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And guess what? The games sure don't tackle it.
Yeah, I wonder, when you're creating stuff, what does that mean to the oh man, I cut off somebody in traffic today. I got that darkness in me.
Yeah. Or is it I think maybe it's just an easy way to kind of paint villains as villains.
Mm-hmm.
But then they do a lot of backflips to be but is Maleficent a good guy?
And wait.
So what does that mean? And what does it mean?
You know who I blame?
Hmm.
Hot take. You know who I blame? Fucking Star Wars. I blame Star Wars. Oh, and the light side and the dark side.
Really paints a pretty easy picture.
Yeah, man. It's just one of those, complicated
maybe,
a little bit,
maybe
man.
Maybe popularized it for, newer, genres and newer stories. Because it's easy for...
I mean, because they pulled from Joseph Campbell's... that's the shit. Listen.
Hey, this is... Because we're around so many Star Wars, like experts,
yeah,
and they always say the same stuff. It's like, we got it.
Yeah.
It was written by the man who created all storytelling.
Star Wars is a lot of fun, and it made so much crazy money that now everything is like a Cliff Notes version of Star Wars. Dial it back. It was never that deep.
Danny M says, "Yeah, the way to live is gray Jedi, baby." That means a normal person, right?
It doesn't matter. None of it matters. None of it means anything. It's all gobbledygook. Last Jedi tried to make it mean something, and even then, it's entropy, life, and the balance of it.
Nature, man. It's nature. Push, pull, gravity, air.
It's just
water.
Tough when you see
space.
I'm tired of it. Anyway, so point is that's, I think that's what we have to thank for all the darkness inside me is making me
super ambiguous. Yeah. It's super confusing to follow. So I watched a 40-minute YouTube video,
which maybe also goes back to Zoroastrianism. Zoroastrianism, which had the light god and the dark god. Anyway.
That's a real
religion that might have influenced early Christianity.
Interesting.
That's another podcast for another day.
Another dollar, yeah. Am I right, boys? But yeah, I watched a 40-minute video of these German people explaining the plot of it's Eurogamer.
Thanks to the Germans for figuring it out for us.
Because they are the one who pointed out to me that every game is it's integral to the plot. And here's your quickie synopsis. I think I did this for you earlier this week. This is for the listeners, gang.
Oh, this is your go-to bit.
So there are 6 games that take place before Kingdom Hearts 1. And there, at one point, you had one land that had all people in it, but they get into a big Keyblade War, splits off, makes all your different worlds, and so you get different Disney worlds, and they develop differently. Boom, bang, you're good. There you go.
Easy peasy. So far, I'm on board.
So much more complicated because there's time travel, but I'm going to just go ahead and skip past all that garbage. Then you have people who train to be Keyblade Warriors. Why? Uh-huh. Not really clue. There's your Jedis. Yeah. They fight with lightsabers at some points because sometimes the Keyblade lights up and just becomes a laser.
Cool.
And at one
point... Disney property now, so that's okay.
They can do whatever they want. At one point, one of the teachers goes bad, named Xehanort, and he tries to put his heart into a kid.
What does that mean to put his heart into a kid?
It basically possess him so if he dies, he can live on in this kid's body.
Classic
trope in sci-fi
stuff.
Is it
literally put his heart into a kid?
Probably.
Or the abstract concept of what a heart represents.
Well, since there's heartless and stuff like this in these games, it's probably like... It's not like a organ. It's like a floating energy heart-looking thing.
So abstract. Cool. Let's go.
But they use those like currency, man. So it's abstract, but it's like how money's abstract. It's like it is a thing, though.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So he tries to infect one kid, but it don't work out. And so he does it to a different kid who's already kind of like the bad boy. So that guy becomes bad guy. But don't worry. Thanks to some buddies, this new kid gets separated out into 2 entities. One is like his old version, now the evil version. And then just fast forward a little bit, that bad one splits off into 2 more bad ones. So there's like 7, there's like 5 entities from these, or 6 entities from these original, from 2.
Yeah.
And then the first game starts.
Cool. Sora,
that main guy, main good guy.
Yeah. Can I tell you who my favorite is, even though I haven't played these games?
Riku.
Yeah, how'd you know?
Because he's the bad boy.
Yeah.
He's the one that I need to use the dark.
Yeah.
And there's way more complicated stuff that happens in there for story names and characters. But at one point, he accidentally gets like a little doppelganger named Roxas.
The main guy.
Played by...
I knew about this from Kingdom Hearts 2, that there's the 2 guys, and then a friend was trying to explain to me, but they're the same guy, and I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, super confusing. And then to make it a little bit more confusing,
cool.
When we wind back the clock, one of the first kids that was almost possessed by Evil Man an amount of time ago looked like Roxas, different name, and he had an evil doppelganger that looked like Sora. What does that mean for anything?
Wait, hold on. But Roxas isn't evil, right?
No, not necessarily.
Cool.
Played by Jesse McCartney, who does the voice of Nightwing on Young Justice.
And also was a musical artist back in the day.
He was, and he was in Horton Hears Who.
There you go.
With Steve Carell.
He was also, I believe, in the original pilot for Lock and Key.
Oh, that would have been... I'm actually bummed about that. Yeah. He's actually a pretty solid actor. Yeah. That would have been really cool.
Yeah.
Would he have been the little boy?
I think at the time, he would have been the oldest son.
Oh, I don't think he has a build for it.
Yeah, I know.
And seeing the build on it, it's like when Aaron Taylor Johnson got really bulked up for Godzilla, and you're like, his head shrank. Whoopsie. Oopsie poops. Thanks for everyone joining us live. Tune in just in time for Sam to talk about Kingdom Hearts. Sounds right. Hey, I explained the best I could. Caitlin, let me know. There's obviously plot points I'm missing. I summed it up. That's how it works.
That's how summing up works. You skip a bunch of stuff.
And then I watched the little trailer they put out for Kingdom Hearts 3 to get it pumped again, and I forgot that Skrillex and the original artist, the Japanese pop artist that did the songs for Kingdom Hearts, Skrillex is a big fan, so he asked to be able to make the song, which I love when that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
And the song's actually really lit, I'll be honest with you kids.
So
Dad's saying it's lit.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope.
Just, you know, so you are excited for the game.
I had already replayed Kingdom Hearts 2. My opinions had changed of the game, and I had immediately pre-ordered Kingdom Hearts 3.
Nice. Fair enough, man.
Also, you know what I do with all these goddamn Marvel shows. I got to watch every single one of them.
You got to know how it all connects. I want to check it out because I always thought Kingdom Hearts seemed super cool as a kid. By the way, how does Mickey factor in all this backstory stuff?
I think.
Yeah. Mickey's the original bad guy?
No, he gets...
That's Pete.
He gets wind of all the darkness out there, and he goes on an adventure to go find it.
Yeah.
And he manages to find a hoodie that fits over his ears in like a die cut fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, these games. And then Donald and Goofy are there.
Yeah.
Goofy's the magician, obviously.
Obviously. They always seemed super cool to me.
They are cool.
Just seeing the Disney characters cool in this world, because I've never been as in love with the Disney characters. But when you put them in like a cooler situation like this, like, because the Final Fantasy games always look super cool. So
cool haircuts, big swords.
So many cool haircuts and big swords. One sword's a gun in Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah,
yeah.
And those all those Final Fantasy characters,
boom,
are in Kingdom Hearts.
Awesome.
From every game.
Amazing.
And yeah. They're like, I don't know any backstory to these characters. Like, Cloud and Tifa have like a weird sexual tension. I'm like, I'm going to go play with Winnie the Pooh. I don't know. I have literally no idea what's happening
here. So it seemed cool to me, but I never owned a PlayStation, so I never got a chance to play them. So I always kind of wanted to check it out, although if I'm being honest, it comes out this Tuesday.
Yeah, borrow
it. I've still got Red Dead and God of War to get through, so it's going to be a hot second before that happens.
The most exciting part, you're getting Big Hero 6, you're getting Monsters, Inc., and you're getting Toy Story, and every time when you go to the new worlds, your body, like, physicality changes.
Yeah.
You become, like, that world. Like, in Little Mermaid, you turn into a mermaid.
Nice.
Goofy turns into a turtle. Donald turns into an octopus.
Nice.
When you go to the Lion King world, you all turn into other animals. You get to turn into a lion and you fight with this cool keyblade in your mouth.
So, what about, is there a world for Hunchback of Notre Dame?
No.
Interesting. I wonder if that's maybe because it's one of the weaker Disney movies. I want to throw that out there real quick.
But to be fair, they gave a world to the original Tron, and you wear the original Tron outfits.
That's cool.
It is okay. It's like, wait, we need to go to the IO tower to send an email. It's like, okay, cool, kids. This is fun.
All right, so before we go any further, let's take a second and say hi to a friend of ours.
Mm. DJ, I'm really excited about our friend that was able to stop by the studio today.
I am too, because I'm a boy that likes to stay fit.
You're a boy that likes to stay fit. Yeah, hey,
I'm trying. I'm trying at least.
You know what? We are all trying, and our new friend, OpenFit, is going to help you out because OpenFit is bringing you something new that makes it even easier to never miss a sweat session. You hate missing a sweat session.
I had a pretty extensive sweat session this morning, mm-hmm. if I'm being honest. No, it was leg day.
It was leg day. You were tired, but you hate when you miss it. And guess what? You can lose that commute to the gym, baby boy, and just let the workouts come to you because OpenFit takes all the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you, not just DJ, but you guys listening, to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as, can you guess? Too late, 10 minutes a day.
Oh, that wasn't fast enough to get on top of it. But here's the important part. Everybody's bodies are different, and OpenFit gets that, which is why it is personalized to your needs with custom-tailored original content.
Can you tell me more about this custom-tailored original content?
OpenFit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world.
The world.
Sculpt your body with Andrea Rogers, founder of the worldwide sensation Extend Bar, or get in crazy good shape with Hunter McIntyre, named by Sports Illustrated as one of the top fittest athletes.
Wow.
These trainers know how to get your results quick.
And guess what, gang? You can forget all the complexity and stress about getting fit and just press play that easy and work out on your schedule. 600 seconds with celebrity trainer Devin Wiggins packs the fat-burning, muscle-building, and body-sculpting benefits of much longer sessions into the fraction of the time.
You can view it on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, and Roku.
You can lose up to 15 pounds in just the first 30 days. That's incredible. Flatten your abs, shape your body, and look and feel great.
OpenFit has changed the way Sam and I work out, and with our code STUPID, you can join us on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Again, use our code STUPID and start using OpenFit for your journey to a healthier life.
Right now, during the OpenFit 30-day challenge, our listeners can get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in the first 30 days when you text, yeah, you're going to text STUPID, S-T-U-P-I-D, to 303030. That's 303030.
It is crazy easy to do. Mm-hmm. Literally, all you have to do is text STUPID to 303030, and you've got instant access to the program. Totally free.
Oh, yeah. All the workouts and nutrition information. I will tell you the nutrition information. Pretty dang cool, gang. Big fan of that. So one more time, just for fun, whip out your phones, make sure you're not driving, and text STUPID to 303030 and try OpenFit today. Now back to the show.
So
what are you into this week?
I think I mentioned this briefly last week, but I finally caught up with where we're at with True Detective. Spoiler, though, by the time this episode goes up, I will be behind again.
That's how you do. Yeah,
but it's really cool. It is tough, though, because we watch a lot of TV, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I also need to accomplish other things. And so sometimes I'll get distracted, even though I don't want to. And this is a show that punishes you for that. If you don't, like, pay attention to what's happening, you're like, wait, what's happening? But I'm really, as the season kind of moves forward and they start building out the mystery more and build out what's going on with Mahershala Ali's character, Wayne, it's really, and I didn't realize his partner is Stephen Dorff, who I think most famously played the bad guy in Blade, the first Blade. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because he's got like this like 70s mop top thing in the flashback segment, and when you there's three timelines. When you flash forward to the middle timeline, it looks like Stephen Dorff, and it's crazy how much just his hair makes him look like a completely different person. But it's interesting. They put up a lot of interesting wrinkles, and they're playing with a lot of interesting ideas that I guess are kind of in the zeitgeist right now, like perception of time and how you relate as people, how we relate to that, and it possibly being an illusion and stuff like that, which I feel like, not directly, but like Bandersnatch kind of touched on, like, hey, how real is reality? You know what I mean? But it's just really interesting. And I just love good takes on this. It's a good time to be me, you know, because there's a lot of good crime stories out there. And this is just another kind of more existential take on it. And I'm into that. I didn't love it, but I enjoyed season two. It really, this, as much as I'm enjoying season three, it really makes me want to go back and watch season one, because season one is like special. Mm-hmm. But Mahershala Ali's killing it. Of course he is. That shouldn't surprise anybody.
God damn, I'm so proud of him. Like, because yeah, he was in so many like bit parts and so many things for so long.
Yeah.
And finally getting like, no, now he's the guy. He's sought out for this stuff.
Now he's the guy. And he's the guy that he gets to say, hey, no, actually, maybe I should be the lead. And they're like, okay. As opposed to the supporting character. So, I mean, if you're into more serious dramas or you're into crime fiction and maybe you felt a little bit burned about True Detective season two, I say check it out, man. Also, it really makes me feel like Sharp Objects, which was the Amy Adams miniseries that came out last year, really feels like a true. You could have just labeled that a season of True Detective, and it would have fit in.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't love the ending. The it's a very character driven story with a great Sharp Objects is a very character driven story with a very tremendous leading performances, especially Amy Adams, who it makes you wish, because she plays a reporter in that. It's like, I wish I could have seen, other than all the dark trauma she went through, this Lois Lane. Because mm-hmm. It's like, it feels like Lois Lane. Again, don't want Lois Lane to go through all the harsh, horrible shit that this character went through. But anyway, Amy Adams is really good. And then at the end, it really like dives in the mystery, and the mystery's actually, the resolution of the mystery is actually crazy pulpy. And it kind of like threw off what was happening. The mystery was the least interesting part to me. But it's tonally dealing with the different, like how past traumas affect the present. It felt like a True Detective season. So anyway, it's again, check it. If you've got HBO, check it out. It'll especially be a good way to spend some time before Game of Thrones comes back.
And then Watchmen.
When does Watchmen drop? Do we know that yet?
I think what everyone's pitched so far is that the final episode of Game of Thrones this season
will lead into Watchmen. Boom. That's a good way to boost your numbers.
I think that's what Silicon Valley did too. When they it was like end of season three of Game of Thrones, something like that. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
But speaking of superheroes, because
Watchmen.
Let's talk about
somebody who's not a criminal, but also not a hero. But also, by the way, they're a criminal.
And yeah, they're a murderer, man.
Yeah, they, he's a criminal.
There's no two ways about it.
You can like him, but he is 100% a criminal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird. He's like not an assassin either, where we're more okay with that. Like, where we don't think about like the moral. It's more like ambiguous when it's like an assassin that we're seeing as the main character because they're murdering. That's a murder.
Yeah.
But like in this, he's not hired by anyone, so he's kind of just doing it himself.
Doing his own thing. And it
which
sucks.
Is more troubling.
Each season of Punisher, they try to like interrogate the idea of, are we okay with this? And the problem is, they end on the side of, yes, we are, but by interrogating it, they make mean. It's like, if you just made this a fun, or at least allowed it to be more fun and just said, like, hey, roll with it. We're down with the Punisher. Fine. But when you question it, no, it's not okay. Mm-hmm. And by making me question it, you're kind of dismantling your whole show that you still want me to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. But hey, you know what? Let's hop into a spoiler-free discussion first up, and that's going to be a good chunk of this is spoiler-free. We'll get into spoilers, of course, for the people who have joined us, who have watched the entire season, or you can come back and listen to our spoiler-filled thoughts at any time you like on any podcast platform you'd like. But let's hop into just overall thoughts, and we'll get into some specifics. Thank you to everyone watching live, of course. I always like to give a little shout-out to you guys, David, Danny, Caitlin. Love you guys. You guys are good people.
If you're wondering, by the way, you're like, wait, people watching live, you can do that on patreon.com/onlystupidanswers.
Little mini plug.
I believe that's the $15 tier.
You're correct.
Yeah, there you go.
So, when we got to do the watch-along for Season 2 with our $10 tier.
Unfortunately, I missed that. I'm sorry about that.
You had a big day. It's a big day for DJ. But yeah. So I was able to watch it with some of you guys, and you guys can watch that on our Patreon as well. I uploaded those streams, and you can just follow the links for the movie live stream tag. But we watched it, and it was, I'd say in the beginning, it felt like a slower burn. And the big appeal is John Bernthal for me.
Yeah.
More 100%. So than The Punisher, even though The Punisher is a fun character.
It always is crazy to me watching the show and looking at John Bernthal's face and being like, wow, he just looks like The Punisher from the comics. His face, that's just The Punisher face.
Someone just like wore. Torn, like he's just bad, like he's
rough
just
road.
Yeah, exactly. That's what his face looks like. But handsome, just a handsome young man.
Yeah,
I have no idea what his age is. If you said like he was pushing 45, I'd be like, man, probably.
I think he's early 40s.
But if you said 29, I'd be like, man, probably. No, I would buy basically anything.
Yeah,
I remember when he was an extra on How I Met Your Mother. He was a bartender.
Really,
for a second.
My first exposure to him was probably like a lot of people was Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. I was a big fan of him because he looked cool, but then he didn't. He had a small role as a bartender in How I Met Your Mother, and then never came back.
I could see him as a bartender.
I will be checking that throughout this podcast to make sure that I am correct about this. But
stay tuned.
Kicking this off, I enjoyed the idea of Frank having to take in this young girl, because of her problem pulling him back into this life of whatever he is. He didn't probably have to murder all the people during it, but yeah, that's how he gets business done. And I liked that aspect of it, kicking it off. And I liked their rapport because she's just lying. She's just like, she's so scared she's going to say basically anything to get out of here. And also, she's told some pretty good lies, even though we're like, we know you're basically all this is bullshit until episode 4 or 5, then we'll get the truth.
Yeah,
I appreciate the kickoff of that. And the idea of starting off with this like religious... radical zealot that is coming after her and Frank now. It was interesting. And then as the season goes on, we then start dealing with season one stuff with Billy Russo. And then you're like, oh, cool. It's going to be cool when these things connect. And then they don't. So,
yeah. Watching the season, it started off kind of slow. And I was like, it'll be really interesting to see when it kind of picks up and things click. And then they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it's bad. It's just never really finds a cohesive direction to go in. A lot of the Netflix series has kind of started doing this where they kind of introduce like an extra antagonist. And I thought Luke Cage juggled its antagonist, its second season juggled the multiple antagonists well.
Because, they tied it all back together. They were the villains were related in some way.
Yeah. And this, and again, on paper, I like the idea of pairing Frank off with a young girl to kind of emphasize his fatherly instincts, because that's one of the benefits of having John Bernthal play the characters. He can actually tap into the human aspect of Frank, which is something we rarely have ever see. But in practice, I didn't really care about Amy. She didn't really bring anything.
Amy being the young girl.
Amy being the young girl. Again, the plot never connected to the rest of the stuff. She got completely forgotten about for like a big chunk in the middle when they were dealing with the Billy stuff. And it just felt like, I wonder if these shows would benefit from, you know, you've got the 13 episodes, like do little arcs. Like the first three episodes you deal, Daredevil season two kind of did that, where the first three episodes were Punisher, then it got in the hand stuff. And then they could have tied it together, but they didn't. But like, but you know what I mean? Like, do
this is a trend now.
Yeah, do three episode arcs, kind of resolve it, and then tie it all together in the last three episodes. You know what I mean? And I think like I just it feels weird that they don't. That we're how many seasons deep in these shows, and they don't really know how to like make it click. Something I realized watching it this time is I wonder if something that hinders some of these Netflix shows is when typically when you're writing an episode of television, for the most part, you have to deal, traditionally you have to deal with these commercial breaks, right? And so you'd have to make these little cliffhangers, these little act breaks. So when your scripts are usually broken up into acts and you know you're transitioning from one act to the next because it usually pivots the plot in a new direction. And that benefits TV because when you do that pivot, it's supposed to hook the audience and keep them invested. So even if you're binging it without commercials, you benefit from those little act twists because that means the plot's growing and evolving, things are changing, you're being introduced to new things. And it feels like with these Netflix shows, it's like, what if those breaks only happened at the end of each episode and things just kind of kept happening at a pace?
Like Warren Ellis stories.
And it's like, well, but even then, like,
there's very few cliffhangers.
Yeah, actually, yeah, they just end. But like this is one of those, instead of having plots shift and change and evolve during episodes, each episode's kind of static until it ends, and then we try to tease you to keep binging to the next one. It's like, well, have more things happen. There's only 13 episodes of the show, and it felt like it went on forever.
For me, I didn't feel that. I felt like it chugged along pretty well, but I agree that like there's a middle chunk where we abandon all of the Pilgrim's story, which yeah. is his name.
John Pilgrim, yeah.
Out of...
Although I don't think he ever says John Pilgrim
in a vacuum we know from outside of the show as viewers. It's kind of dumb that we know that.
Yeah.
John Bernthal was in one episode of How I Met Your Mother. It was the one I was thinking of. But the reason why I know him, deep cut, one season of this show, The Class, whose cast consisted of John Bernthal, Lizzie Kaplan, Jesse Tyler Ferguson from... Modern Family, and Jason Ritter and Lucy Punch. It was a crazy cast.
That's nuts. And Lucy Punch is great, by the way, in a series of unfortunate events.
Weird thing, though. She was in the show, and then, because she had like a couple, it was a class reunion of people who were in elementary school together.
Nice.
And now they're meeting up again. Somehow their lives are intertwined. But she got like weirdly written off the show, but like her character shows up later, but you only see the back of her blonde head, but you only deal with her like her significant other. It was a weird thing, but the show obviously wasn't popular enough to come back for a second season. Anyways, shout out. Big shout out to that show.
Shout out to that.
No, I totally agree. The actor who played the Pilgrim, I really enjoy. He was in The Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Give a little shout out to that. He's actually been in a couple of things.
I really enjoyed him in the last few episodes when he actually had things to do.
Yeah.
And when they actually like, oh, hey, actually, here's who this guy is. Here's what motivates him.
And one of the big questions starting out was when he's doing the assault on... we're trying to keep 13. It spoiler. We're keeping it spoiler free. But there's a point when like you see him come in with like a group of, let's ballpark say, like 30 guys, yeah. like 30 well-trained like assassins to come after.
I have some major questions about the specifics of the plot this season.
Of the whole plot, like for everything. And you're like, where? And when we're watching these episodes, everyone's like, why would you need this many people? Why would you do, like, why are you going after it this way? It's such a weird way.
This person's a con artist. Why don't you just buy the thing you need off of them?
Yeah.
Instead of dumping truckloads of money to hire countless bad guys, their pictures.
Yeah, Josh Stewart. He was in The Dark Knight Rises as well as Interstellar.
Cool. So he's part of the Nolan circle. Good for him, man.
Nolan buddy.
And he does really good work in the last few episodes when he's actually given things to do.
And we also see the return of Curtis Hoyle and Dina Madani, as well as the introduction of Krista Dumont by Floriana Lima from Supergirl, who played Maggie Sawyer.
I enjoyed her as Maggie Sawyer. This character is not good.
We also saw the return of Brett Mahoney from the Daredevil shows.
Yeah.
And he gets a lot of scenes to chew.
Super important.
Yeah, he's super important and really compelling. Yeah. He's like super cool. Oh, also David's saying he was in The Collector. I've never seen The Collector, so I didn't mention it. But we also see Corbin Burnson and Annette O'Toole. Annette O'Toole playing Ma Kent from Smallville.
Yeah.
Corbin Burnson from Psych and basically every comedy from the 90s. Like he was in.
He's
and
great.
A lot of Christian Hallmark movies. My father watches them. That's how I know what he's up to.
Yeah, your father watches them.
It's a family activity. Yeah. And Ben Barnes as your Billy Russo. So,
and another thing that really disappointed me is I thought they set up something really interesting. The way they set up, for those that don't know, Billy Russo in the comics is the one that got away. He's the one, because obviously Punisher is Punisher, so he doesn't get a lot of recurring antagonists. The one he does have is Billy Russo, a.k.a. Jigsaw. And the way they set up Jigsaw in season one, I thought was super interesting, and I couldn't wait to see.
And it hurt, right?
It hurt a lot.
His,
to watch.
His character mattered a lot to Frank, and you could see emotion. They let Frank be a person.
Oh, I thought you were talking about how that.
Oh, ended, I was getting into
hurt.
It.
Yeah.
No, I just mean it meant a lot to Frank, so you understood why he might stick around longer because of his emotional connection. And then, how he literally ended up getting cheese grated on that mirror.
It just, the way they use him here is just, they even give him a great setup for his gang and stuff like that. And it just felt underwhelming and disappointing. And it was just one of those, like, why even bother bringing him back for this? You know?
Yeah. For me, I was okay with it until we got to the resolution of, like, where his, like, gang ended up on opinions of things.
Yeah.
It felt weird that everyone had all these weird changes of heart and whatnot. It's like, you guys are doing bad things. I know you guys are justifying all these other things, but like what he did wasn't like a big stretch.
Yeah.
What he asked you guys to do in terms of violence. So it was kind of confusing. And I when it comes to where they ended up having his character go to, like his like last moment, I actually kind of liked what it meant in
his
terms
last
of Punisher
moment,
stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I just...
We'll get into spoilers,
I just felt underwhelmed by his plot specifically and just the season in general. I like that we got to spend more time with Curtis.
Mm-hmm. Curtis got a really big story. I thought they were going to do something awful because these shows don't have a good track record with their...
Supporting black characters.
Supporting black characters. And it started becoming a trend that was really a bummer.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, Punisher didn't do it in season one, and I thought, like, oh, you're going to fall into it in season two? It's like, nah, we're good. A lot of other people are going to die violently.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to point out that the action I thought was really solid for the Pilgrim. Whenever he actually got hand-to-hand combat, there's a lot of moments that made me want to bury my head into my pillow because it genuinely made me uncomfortable. And Frank also got some really cool moments where they kind of started to play with the choreography of like his action. To be fair though, it was almost 50-50 with some scenes that were like blocking.
Yeah, some of it felt a little too staged.
Mm-hmm. But you would get some scenes where it's like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like using the guns more as melee weapons, I'm like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest disappointments for me watching this season, and I think it helped me crystallize something that I thought made the first season more special, was the odd couple dynamic between Frank and Micro. And spoilers, Micro doesn't show up at all this season, which good for the person, because that means he just gets to be happy wherever he is and he's not sucked into Frank's bullshit. But bummer for the audience, because I think that was a really good foil for Frank and gave you different textures of the show. Whereas this version of it, since Amy kind of disappears for a big chunk, it's all variations of other tough people kind of like giving Frank I don't know, but attaboy. Like, oh, I don't know, but let's all cheers to Frank. There's literally a scene where they sit down like, I think I'm going to have to take Frank in because he's a monster. Literally grabs a cup. Cheers to Frank Castle. And then she's like, but you literally were just saying you're going to have to take him down. Like, what's happening right now?
Yeah, I'm not quite.
So many conversations are about, like, how great Frank is, even though he's murdering people.
Yeah, I don't like that in my shows, where it's everyone's, like, concerned with the main character.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. That's not how people in my life work. Like, really.
You don't know that we all talk about you pretty much constantly.
Like nonstop. Like, even like if I'm going through a big thing, it's like, that's not how people work.
Yeah, man. I'm not worried about my stuff. I'm talking about, hey, what am I going to do with Sam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's and then you do a little cheers to yourself, when you're brushing your teeth. Just
you
like,
know what? I think maybe Sam is a pretty good guy.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Cheers.
Cheers.
You know, so I think the consensus I'm getting, tell me if I'm reading the water correctly, that you disliked this a little bit more than I did.
I don't know. We'll have to give our ratings.
I enjoyed it more than you, which is fine. I think season one is really solid, and this isn't one of the most solid seasons of these Marvel Netflix shows.
Yeah.
I just think what it did give me, I was okay with. I'm glad we didn't sit and watch it all 13 episodes in one day, because then it would be a lot. My opinions would be way more severe.
Yeah.
Taking your time, 6 episodes, one, I was like, cool, I'm fine with this, but nothing's like grabbing me to come back. But when I did watch it, I watch them in 3 episodes at a time, easy. That was really nice, and I enjoyed enough of it, and there were some especially where Billy's character ended up, I found interesting. I wish the doctor, the psychiatrist, and Billy and that whole thing meant a little bit more,
didn't happen.
No, I liked it, because I liked her first few scenes with him about like what the mask meant to him.
The mask was cool
and where he was at, because in terms of like revenge, it's like, ah, Frankie kind of fucked up big time with Billy. This is a big mess up, and I wish that paid off in a better way. But the setup was really good, so I think I'm more forgiving to it, because I don't think it bungled it totally. I just think it just was like, what's the safest ending we could have? What's the first idea we have? And that's what we went.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about it in my brain. I was kind of ranking ranking the different Netflix shows in my head, and I can almost guarantee now that I probably enjoyed it less than you, because where it kind of falls on my hierarchy, I'm like, oh damn, yeah, I guess I really didn't enjoy this season, because there's moments I like. Mm-hmm. There's moments I like. I like a lot of, if you just told me like little cliff notes of the ideas that fueled the season, I'm like, oh, that's all the stuff with John Pilgrim seems interesting, Amy, that seems interesting, like on paper it seems really interesting, and then you see it and you're like, wow.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they should have advertised that this was a religious extremist as like one of the main villains, because that meant literally nothing.
I'm going to be honest. It was interesting that they tried to subvert, like, there is definitely an intended audience for the show. And while still kind of giving a big old bear hug to that, to the intended demographic, also poking holes in things that they might like. One of the antagonists is a religious extremist, seems out of the wrong way of phrasing it, but religiously intense. Mm-hmm. And they're being blackmailed by Russians into doing crazy things, like, yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're clearly trying to also like, hey, let's surround Frank with a bunch of women and people of color and saying, hey, these people are okay. You know what I mean? So props to them for, I guess, trying to be more inclusive for the audience that will probably enjoy this the most.
True. You know, you can give him that one. Yeah. Danny M. saying, using Jigsaw is interesting, as the last time we saw him was in Punisher Warzone. When they went full Jigsaw on that one.
I kind of feel like you could have split the difference here, because they do like a 3-episode buildup of like, what's under the mask? And then he takes off the mask and is like, oh, you're fine.
Yeah.
But you got the best surgeons in the world. You're pretty okay. You're still very handsome.
The big cheek scar, if you draw a circle at the top, it looks like a body. It looks like a stick figure. Just putting that out there. Someone pointed that out online. I think, you know what? Just looking at the time, perfect. No. We have time for some spoiler discussions. Let's rank them really quick.
Yes.
Let's give a number score, because there's so many shows at this point. Let's do out of 10, and then we'll rank the all the shows.
I think that's a great idea.
Cool. I'd give it a solid 7 out of 10.
You know what? I'd give it the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd give it the same. It's a solid C.
Yeah.
Maybe a low C minus. Yeah.
But I just think it for me, the show's solid.
And that's an overall score, because there were episodes I enjoyed more than that.
There are some specific action scenes with Frank just trying to console like Amy, where he's like, don't worry, you didn't do something bad. It's only me that does the bad things.
In moments like that, and also there's for Punisher fans, there's some moments that are like, ooh, that's the Punisher. Like that's just straight up the Punisher, and we'll talk more about that.
There's a part that we want a gif where Frank, we can say this part, it doesn't matter. Frank comes back from such a violent encounter with some people covered in blood.
Yeah.
And Amy's like, you okay? He turns to her, double thumbs up.
Yeah.
And that's it. He's just drenched in blood.
No matter how you feel about the season, worth it for that.
Yeah.
The second I saw that, I'm like,
yeah, see, I don't regret watching this season because of some of those moments. And Ben Barnes gives a hell of a performance. The way that the psychiatrist tries to work with him,
mm-hmm.
before it goes off the rails with everything else, it's like when she's just trying to get this person who's so troubled, like, back together.
Yeah.
initially from what I thought was just a pretty like neutral point of view, mm-hmm. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, 7 out of 10 from both of us. Solid C. I'll read a few.
Low-ish C.
I wanted to read, there's a longer review from Nathan the Man from our Discord. Shout out for Patreon.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in just a second. Landstanders on episode 4. I'm a slow boy liking things so far. That's dope. Echo Spider, not in a hurry to watch since it's going to get canceled. I will watch the review though until spoilers come out. Well, Danny, thanks for joining us live.
Get ready for them spoilers.
Yeah, we're going to get the spoilers in just a second. But I get it. Taking your time and also watching the show, it's like, it sucks because you can kind of just, it feels like there's like this shadow hanging over it that's not just the Punisher murdering people and somehow not murdering innocent people at the same time.
I have a very specific question for you about some of that. But yeah. But where would you rank this on the other Netflix shows?
Let's go through them because this is gonna be tough. I think we just gotta go top down.
Good news, we only have to do this one more time. Probably
one more time. That'll be easier to keep track. We should also write these down.
Yes,
I should write these down. You probably have a list somewhere.
You know what? You're right. Normally, I would. For surprisingly, I don't.
I would say still up top. It's like I think it's a 3-way tie because there's a lot of stuff I like from each of them, even though they're equally dumb moments from those shows. Jessica Jones season 1.
Yeah.
That neighbor tanks it pretty hard from being absolutely perfect in number 1. That's really a weak point. The Jessica Jones season 1, Punisher season 1.
Yeah.
Gun control argument really doesn't gun let control, it go ahead.
Dude. Yeah.
And Luke Cage season 2.
Yes.
And
which doesn't have a gun control plot or the crazy neighbor.
No, but I think it's just it doesn't quite reach the heights of the other ones. Yeah, I think it's just really solid and it's got really cool moments for the character.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy. And then Daredevil season 2. Luke Cage season 1. Iron Fist season 2.
Mm-hmm.
No. Put above that, Daredevil season 1, Iron Fist season 2, Jessica Jones season 2. I'm trying to keep track of all these ones. Defenders, maybe a little higher than Iron Fist season 2. Oh, I was writing this down, and then Punisher season 2. It's higher. Oh no! Okay, I listed off a bunch of them. It's
okay. Hold on, because our lists are gonna be similar. So I'm gonna start doing mine, and I think you'll see we'll see if we're missing.
It's
one.
Better than Jessica Jones season 2 in my eyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow. Because of Trish. Because Trish really tanks it.
Trish was tough. Oh, I think we can both agree on for season 1 is the bottom.
Huh?
We still haven't hit that, but Ryan for season 1 still rock bottom. So Daredevil. So similar to you, although they're not. It's more clear delineation of like Jessica Jones season 1 is 1. 2 would either be Punisher season 1 or Luke Cage season 2. Then it would probably be Daredevil. Daredevil season 1 and 2 are probably pretty close. Then Defenders. Oh, Daredevil season 3 is.
Oh,
probably,
it's higher up for me.
It's higher for you.
God
it's,
damn, I can't keep
it's
track.
It's probably... So it's Defenders, probably Daredevil season 3 beneath Defenders. Then Iron Fist season 2. Is that true? Iron Fist season 2. Then Jessica Jones season 2. Then Punisher season 2.
Wow, yeah, I'd put mine a higher
than Iron Fist.
That's really low. I put Daredevil season 3 above. It's actually, I think. Oh man.
To be fair, that stretch of Jessica Jones season 2 and Punisher season 3, that and Luke Cage 1, they're all kind of Luke Cage 1 is better than those, but they're all kind of in there together. You know what I mean?
All right, just to make it clear for me, literally, if you found a middle of my list, that's where Punisher season 2 is.
Yeah, for me, it is below Iron Fist season 2, which feels weird for me to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
season 2 of Iron Fist had some cool moments.
It's fun. I think it was better than this season, which is weird.
But then Danny.
Yeah. Anyway,
Typhoid Mary was really cool.
Typhoid Mary was really cool,
mm-hmm.
and I did want to see her face the Punisher. Now I don't really care that much.
We're all kind of just bummed.
Yeah,
end of season 2 of Punisher is super weird. The last shot.
So we're gonna go into spoilers, guys. It's we're 40 minutes in the episode. We're gonna go into spoilers.
We got it at some point.
Yeah, we're gonna go into spoilers. But before we do that, really quick, Something you can do is go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. That helps us put us higher in the rankings and all that stuff. And we like to read your five. We read all of them, but we like to read them on air when we can. And we've got one here from Nature 405-838-2833.
Easy name.
Yeah.
It's a birth name, I think. It's Christian.
And she's saying, Old looking Testament. Forward to Monday's commute to work weekly, thanks to my boy people. Sam, you want to take this one?
Oh, yes. I saw it. It's the long one. Zooming in. Here we go. DJ and Sam makes Mondays fun. Yes, you read it correctly. Listening to Only Stupid Answers feels like I'm hanging out with my two smart friends in the car on my way to work. As someone who hasn't read many comics but is interested in the movies, they make it really easy for me to understand the world I don't know very much of. Thanks, boys, for everything you guys put out there. Y'all are most definitely my favorites of all time. Oh, yes, in case you didn't get the tone, I recommend this podcast wholeheartedly. Heart emoji. And awesome. It's the red one, and that's the one that obviously has the most love in it.
Mm-hmm. It's because it's the most full of love because it's red. So,
it's red.
Going to spoilers, Sam,
mm-hmm.
What was I supposed to get out of this season,
don't
do
know.
You think?
Sorry, I answered too fast. Finish your question.
What was I supposed to get out of it, do you think?
Don't know.
Because okay, here's where things... It's tough because nothing ever kind of congeals. Like they never combine the plot of John Pilgrim and Billy Russo.
No, they're just other problems.
That's yeah, which is a problem on its own. Here's the thing that confuses me the most. My favorite episode, probably, I think it's called Dark Souls of Men. It's the one where Frank's going after Billy. Billy sets a trap for him. Classic, one of those where you just could have killed him, but you didn't because you want to break him first, right? Because that never blows up in your face. His guys mess Punisher up pretty brutally. It's actually a pretty great trap. Like he's using a strobe light and music to disorient Frank while his guys shoot him with rock salt and cut him up and beat just generally.
Oh, it's rock salt.
They establish really that later. They establish that later.
Gotcha.
Really, just do some real damage to Frank. Then Billy bails. Then Frank, I get the lights turn on, and Frank's able to turn on super mode, and he kills all the guys. And as Frank's running after Billy, Billy hides in a room. Frank just willy-nilly fires a machine gun into the room, walks in there, and there's three prostitutes, I'm assuming, women of the night,
mm-hmm.
Or party girls or whatever, and they've been shot and killed. And he thinks he's killed innocents because he was just going in like a maniac, shooting wildly. And then the next episode, we find out, wait, Billy set that up. He killed them, and Punisher didn't do anything. And then a couple episodes later, Frank goes into a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't bother pulling fire alarms or anything. He knows a guy's in a room, goes in a room, immediately starts shooting at the guy through the wall. We see people in the hotel running out screaming.
Mm-hmm.
He and Frank, to be fair, action scene is fucking cool, but they're shooting at each other through hotel walls. They're in a hotel that has people in it. And it's like, Frank, did you learn? So you just found out that you didn't kill them, and now you're like, cool, like I'm good to do what I've been doing this whole time.
Bullet immunity. He gives it to other people.
Like, so what was I supposed to... And this is after, by the way, again, cool visually, Frank has a plan to sneak up on Billy with a mask disguised as one of his men, walks in the middle of the street, takes off the disguise, says, hey, Billy, I'm coming after you, thus instigating a shootout in the middle of a populated street.
Mm-hmm.
For no real reason. He could have just snuck up on Billy.
Been done.
Hit him twice in the back of the head and called it a day.
Yeah, which he does at the end.
Yeah.
It's
spoilers.
I like the ambiguity of, like, it could have been Madani, it could have been Curtis, could have been Frank, probably was Frank.
I mean, Frank, we see Frank do the kill shot.
In a story that's being told.
Yes,
and so that's why I like the ambiguity of it, which it probably was what it was,
yeah.
You know? And it's being ambiguous because they don't want Brett to be... Now that Brett's like totally... He gets saved one time by Frank mid-arrest.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, now I got a cover for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I got a fucking cover for him.
After ambulance accident, which again looks really cool, there's no way they... I mean, maybe they survive.
Maybe Frank survives.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the front seat.
And let's say, just generously, because sometimes people are more durable than you think, let's say Mahoney survives. There's no way he's walking away from the accident.
Hey, man, he just squished right into the back. Because you saw him, he was like laying. It's
yeah.
Like, no way.
We saw the whole cab become a pancake. The whole cab of that ambulance is non-existent anymore. And it looks cool.
That
but
shot
like,
was amazing.
It was really cool. And the whole car chase, basically, once John Pilgrim goes full Terminator after he's got nothing left to lose, super cool. And it's one of those, why didn't you do this significant? Why didn't you, all the stuff that made him interesting happens in the last three episodes. Why didn't you do that way earlier in the season?
You know what? I'm really bummed that Nuke got used for Jessica Jones now, because Nuke would have been a really cool antagonist for this season.
And he's also traditionally, he was first introduced in a Daredevil situation, so that would have been cool too, but we'll never get it now.
Nope.
Also, they killed Nuke anyway, so even if
the show's his hair off. Yeah. That's a no-go.
Yeah, he's super dead. Mm-hmm. So there's moments, specific shootouts were cool. One of my favorite moments is Frank cuts off a guy's thumb to open his phone, and then he keeps it for some reason, and he uses it. He's trying to taunt some guys, and he's like, here's a tip, and he throws the thumb into their shot glass, and I'm like, fuck yeah, that's the Punisher, man.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
The scene you were talking about where Amy, to defend herself, shoots a guy, and she's freaking out. And he's like, no, you didn't kill him. Because the guy's still like choking on his own blood. Frank immediately turns around, shoots the guy in the head, like, I killed him. It's like, I mean, good, I guess.
Good, yeah. Like a weird dad moment for you, man.
Yeah.
David Rodriguez in the chat is saying, totally bummed I didn't see Micro. Also, I'm watching the last episode right now. There you go. I'm glad that I got ahead of you over there.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
Yeah, maybe Micro shows up.
he doesn't.
The big problem for me is, like, I don't understand any of the motivation for why Pilgrim is doing this. Like, besides being church friends.
Exactly.
Besides being church friends. And I grew up in a church. It's like, you'll babysit, dog sit, maybe help with some gardening.
But mass murder. Mass murder.
You went after cops.
Also, so Pilgrim gets a pass just because he's got kids? Is that basically what happens?
They killed, like, innocent people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot. A significant amount.
So cool, though, when he got fishtailed by that car and he got up still. Super cool. The craziest fight is him taking on the mafia white supremacy group that he was a part of.
Yeah.
And pulling the teeth out of his head.
Oh. Yeah. He turns out to be such a formidable combatant that it's one of those, like, again, why didn't we show this sooner? Because by the time Frank's big final fight is this guy, and they don't mean anything to each other.
No, and if you would, like, kind of, him being just a constant threat throughout this entire thing would have been really cool. Or him just going straight to Billy, where it's like, hey, I don't know why you would need to do this, but him going out, like, trying to team up with Billy to go after Frank or something like that.
I honestly could swear to you, I thought I saw a clip where they interact, and they sure don't.
They sure don't. And the weird, like, when he, like, loses his mind and starts, like, getting blowjobs from prostitutes and stuff. I'm like, I honestly don't know what's happening right now.
You know
now.
What? Filler? You know about filler?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, we got...
I don't know what this means for his character or anything. Like, it doesn't...
It's interesting because both bad guys spiral at the end, and Billy's spiral was interesting, where he's trying to stay. This was great. He's getting surgery and he's like, no, don't give me any drugs. And he blacks out because of course you would. Come on. And the guy, this shady doctor, takes his money and just dumps him in a dumpster. I wanted more from Billy. Like, Billy's such a, and it's not like, oh, but in the comics. But in the comics, like, he's such a big threat. I kind of thought what they were setting up with season two was that Billy was going to kind of create his own criminal empire. Now that his legit business is gone. He starts to in a really interesting way, like getting disaffected. That felt like a better way to explore some of the stuff they tried to explore last season. But then they don't explore it, and then it doesn't really become that much of a gang.
Like, if they didn't do that whole gun control thing with the bomb, like, if that kid was still around and, like, he's the first guy that gets recruited by Billy, and this would be, like, that's a cool connecting piece. It's also, like, sad because you see someone who's, like, the system has fully failed, like, 100%, and he needs help.
And that's something you said. You told me about a quote. I think it was Jerry Conway, who's the co-creator of The Punisher, talked about how Punisher represents the system failing.
Yeah.
And that you told me that quote specifically was in context of people that are part of the system having the logo on their cars and stuff. And it's like, but wait, that... Hold on a second.
Yeah, you're missing the point.
Yeah, and I think maybe exploring the idea of the system failing... More explore and an idea. I can't even think of a cohesive idea that unified the season.
One cool idea that's not for the season, but just something that they brought up, especially for Billy, because, like, I think the kickstart of all these, where everybody ended up in the beginning of the season, like, you see Frank for a second being happy with this, like, bartender. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. What if 13 episodes was just him being happy and, like, being a dad to this kid and, like,
totally
this.
For it.
Yeah. Totally. I'd actually like to see someone be happy for a second. But you also see the Billy after his extreme trauma from Frank is doesn't remember what he did wrong.
Yeah.
And then you think about that and you're like, oh, You really should have killed him. Yeah, you really, well, you really should have.
Curtis brings up a really good point that was an interesting thing to explore. It's like you left him this way so he could remember, and he doesn't, but we all do. Like, we're all stuck. Like, you, great, you got to move on for a second. We didn't. You just left us behind. And I don't know. And the way, again, on paper, I like the idea that this show ends with Punisher being Punisher. Like, he's going out. It's like Super Punisher. Like, he's got the trench coat on for some reason.
Yeah,
and he's going with
mass
murdering people. Except that the entire thrust of the season seemed to be the universe telling Frank, like, hey, maybe don't. So I guess we just need to accept that he didn't learn. It's not even like the Luke Cage season 2 where we've seen his descent into possibly flirting with the quote-unquote the dark side. Mm. It's that, hey, there was a lesson and Frank just didn't learn it.
Yeah, I don't quite get where we're supposed to, like, I don't feel like there was a cohesive story here, but I think there were plenty of moments that were good and episodes as wholes that were really good. Like,
agreed.
Turk's episode where it's like Turk couldn't show up in a season 3 of Daredevil once.
Yeah.
But he gets a full episode in Punisher season 2.
Yeah, and I like that Frank just knows not to kill Turk because Turk's too great, man.
Yeah, Turk has way too connected.
Yeah.
Like, it would be stupid to kill him because of how capable he is. We see that he's still running that pot store where we saw him in Luke Cage season 2, which makes me happy that that's carrying over.
Yeah.
In season 2 of Iron Fist, he's selling guns out of the back of his car, though, so he's still doing bad
stuff.
The
majority of the time, he was a gun dude, except for the very beginning of the show where he was trafficking people. Let's not dwell on that.
Because when we were doing the live stream, we were like, oh, yeah, it's Turk. And it's like, yeah, but none of us remember.
Yeah, he trafficked.
He was doing
women.
A really monstrous thing.
Yeah, so then he took one step down about selling illegal guns. Mm-hmm. But now he's dealing weed. So, you know, hey, listen, if John Pilgrim can get a pass because of just having a kid, Turk's selling weed now. He's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Corbin Burnson, though, big fan.
Yeah.
Annette O'Toole, really cool.
Yeah.
She can really have some fury.
She gets a scene where she's just screaming, and there's literally a vein. You can see a vein from the top of her head to her jaw. It's nuts.
Gross.
It's nuts.
Hope she's okay. Hope she is. Hope she's okay.
Hope she's all right.
You know what? Just to end on, because for me, I enjoyed the season. I haven't really ever... Besides rewatching what we did with Senior, I never revisited these shows. So I don't really see myself revisiting this one in the future.
Yeah.
But I still stand by like the 7 out of 10 in a positive that, like, I think there's like a lot of solid action. The Lem leaning into violence is the show to do that with. Like, sometimes in like Daredevil, I'm like, sometimes I like it's cool that there's violence, but you didn't actually need it because he's just knocking dudes out. So there would be blood, but it's okay if you didn't put it. So I sometimes think it's like gratuitous. And this, I'm like, fully embrace it. Fully go as violent as you want and have a freaking ball. And I got that from this.
Yeah.
Season 1 was just so clear that this is what it's like to be a veteran from the Punisher's point of view, and this is the corner of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that has to deal with this, and there isn't a clear answer, but you can see into their life. And in this season, you don't get that, and you don't deal with Billy, and you're not really sure where that's up to the psychiatrist at all. Scared of heights.
And then her and Madani getting this fight, and Madani's... she Homeland, right? She works for Homeland
Security.
Security.
Which is not clear in this season.
Yeah. Field agent, combat capable. And for some reason, this therapist is able to like make it like an even fight. And you're like, but how though?
Because she's a psycho. She's a psychopath.
Sure. And then she gets thrown out the window. And I guess I'm supposed to care, but I sure don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, she doesn't die.
No, everything about that plot, her, they spent so much time with her and Billy making googly eyes at each other. Don't care.
I just felt icky. Yeah. I felt icky when they were doing their stuff. I enjoyed the psychiatrist. I enjoyed the character, but I just couldn't tell you what was happening.
Yeah.
I enjoyed, but couldn't tell you what happened. And sometimes I'm a little just kind of dumbstruck that John Bernthal is in one of these shows, in one of these shows. Because in my head, he's way bigger. Like, but then I look at his IMDb and I'm like, oh, you're still up and coming. You're not fully starring in your own movies.
Mahershala Ali was on one of these shows before he had an Oscar and everything.
He was.
Yeah.
Not full season, though. Couldn't get him a whole full season.
No, I didn't get him for the full season, which was a
bummer.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, it's a whoopsie.
It was a whoopsie. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm okay with these shows wrapping up. Now that I'm kind of getting a clearer picture of these shows aren't going to get better because they're done. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, It was a cool experiment. There will be things that excite me. Like, I'm excited to tell, like, when I have kids or younger generations or whatever, like, hey, there's a show with Daredevil and Punisher. They're on it together. Like, that was cool. We got to see these characters team up. And no, it's like when you revisit, like, the classic 90s Flash or the Lou Ferrigno Hulk show. They're not perfect, but it's cool that they existed. And there's elements that you like about them.
And there's so much effort put into these. These are not slapdash put together. It's people being bold and trying to tell these stories and add interesting elements, and sometimes they don't work.
Yeah.
And no, you're totally right. Like, I can't wait to have kids and be like, cool, so we're going to watch Marvel movies, but like, these are the beginning. This is the thing that started it all, and it's called Daredevil starring Ben Affleck. And that's what we're going to watch.
So I'm hoping that maybe these characters can get a second life on Disney Plus or someplace like that, and hopefully we keep Jon Bernthal around as the Punisher for whenever that happens, because I honestly don't think you get somebody better to play that role. And it just may be a different, I don't know, just see what people can do with, in a different scenario, maybe with either A, less episodes, or B, able to function more like just a show. You know what I mean? Like, not so hamstrung of like, actually you can't show Bullseye this season, you can only choose one villain. You know what I mean? Like, maybe have them be more like CW shows where it's like, do whatever you want.
Yeah, sit them up early and then play with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just go to town on it.
Yeah. So that's our thoughts, spoiler fill and free, of Punisher Season 2 on Netflix partnership with ABC Television and Marvel. Let us know. What you thought of Punisher Season 2? I'm going to read. Ooh, Nathan, I apologize.
While you're bringing that up, do you have it ready?
Yes, I got it right here. All right, so this is from Nathan the Man. And I haven't read over this, and it's small text, so bear with me. So I asked what their thoughts were, what you guys' thoughts were, and this is what Nathan writes. All of the side characters were written so that they can help Frank reach his final form as the Punisher, and I did not think that was a good choice for the show. The show did an awkward job of showing Agent Madani's trauma from getting shot last season in the head. Totally forgot about that part. Sorry, that's my...
That was his little addition.
Annotation. The trauma motivated her actions in this season, but it came off like she was just being stupid and much less competent than last season, so that was a bummer for her character. Billy Russo was good. It was an interesting way to do Jigsaw, but ultimately I didn't care for Billy. I don't know why we did. Why did we have to spend time with him? It's not like anything that could happen in this season could have made him redeemable in any way. That's interesting. No. It seems like because of the memory loss, what happened to him last season was negated too. So if the Jigsaw thing was like a device to teach Frank that he should have not left him alive and should kill the people who deserve to be killed, a la Punisher motto, that was the whole lot of content just to get to that point. The Amy plot points were the most enjoyable parts of the season, and the Pilgrim was also interesting. Getting Frank and Amy to develop their father-daughter relationship was cool. I did like them hanging out.
Yeah.
I give the season 7 out of 10. Yes, that there seems like go. The consensus. And it follows in the footsteps of the other Marvel Netflix second seasons of not being as good as the first season.
Except for Iron Fist and Luke Cage.
Those ones got pretty good.
And Daredevil.
Yeah. We have other people who haven't seen it, but like as Rawls writing, some of the characters were dumb, and it felt like too many things were happening at once, even though it was only really two things. But I really enjoyed the season. The action was fantastic. Yeah, I can't really fight that. The action was pretty dope when it did happen, for the most part. So, guys, thank you for sending us your comments. Let us know more on the Discord. And Jessica Jones Season 3 is happening.
I hope we get a little wrap up of, I hope like the last episode, like I gotta call my friends and we get like one last shot, since that might be the swan song for this whole endeavor. It's tough. Don't let it just be a finale for Jessica Jones, but let it be a finale for the whole thing.
That may be tough.
Yeah, I think it is, but it would make me happy.
Make me happy too. Yeah, weird end on this season when he fires and kills all those random people, which I have no idea who has the intel of.
Yeah, who looked like they were about ready to get in rap out of.
They were, and then it says, in loving memory of Stan Lee, which you get why they said that, but it's a weird shot to end on.
Yeah, yeah. Punisher murders all these people, also in loving memory of this person that didn't create the Punisher.
Yeah, it's what's, well, you know,
Marvel stuff. I know.
I think Spider-Verse had a better tribute to Stan Lee.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, easily.
But gang, let us know what you think on patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Check out all of our other content, youtube.com/onlystupidanswers and onlystupidanswers.com. For more podcast merch and places you can ask us questions. DJ, where can they find you?
DJ Talks Trash. Thanks for joining us. Sam, what about you?
Scram Brasher. Easy, spell it like it sounds. A lot of Q's in there. But gang, we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hey.